For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
You know what that means?
Oh, it's a Friday.
Oh, well, that's you, I guess.
What did
you
say?
I said... You said you know what that music means, and I said the Extra Point Show is starting.
Friday on the Extra Point Show.
Well, yeah, but there's two answers to that question.
Yeah, it's fair.
To be fair, I thought yesterday was Friday, so I'm a little messed up right now.
It's tough.
I don't know what happened, but like, it just felt like Friday. It
happens to me at least once a week. I can't even judge.
Yeah, but usually to you it happens on a Tuesday.
Why'd you say it with a judgmental tone?
Because that's weird. It's okay to think that a Thursday is a Friday because it's Friday Junior.
No, Tuesday feels good. The sun's out or something like that. I'm like, yeah, it's Friday.
No,
it's like
incorrect.
Zach, it's not.
Incorrect.
It's Tuesday at 9 in the morning. No, it's not. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Got a fun day ahead of us here. We've got Mike Kay joining from the Charlotte Observer, talking about the Panthers. We've got that game coming up tomorrow. The Panthers will be playing their starters. The Bills will not. It's coming up at 10:30. We've got Sal Capaccio's interview with UB head coach Pete Lembo. They begin their season next week against Lafayette. That's coming up at 11:05. And then at 11:30, we're going to get a look at the weather with Patrick Hammer. I did watch, though, Josh, that HBO series, like the Eye of the Storm. I watched that episode the other day involving the 2022 Christmas blizzard and all that stuff. Pat sold that correctly. It is a somber watch. It is very much a tragedy, and it is gripping television. It is very, very, very good. It's on HBO and Discovery as well. Just so good. So can't wait to talk to him. We also, though, much better weather than we had a lot of the summer. I mean, it was cold for a little bit, but now a lot of this week has almost felt like the perfect weather.
Yeah, because it's like 73 and sunny, a little bit of a breeze.
Yeah.
Jeremy put it perfect the other day. It's perfect sleeping weather, right?
Yes,
like,
yes.
It's not, you're too cold, so you got to put on an extra blanket, and then you get too hot, or it's too hot, and you just don't know what to do. Because your fan can only go up so high.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also one of those people where I have to sleep with a blanket of some kind. Like I can't sleep with like no blanket or anything. It's I don't know why. But then I'm like, I'm sweating. I can't sleep right now. But now this is like the perfect weather. If this could be the weather every year all summer would be my favorite season.
I mean, I don't get me wrong. I do like into the high 80s, going to the beach, water park, what have you, and like you can actually enjoy it. You're not like shivering the moment you get out of a pool. But yeah, like I think Jeremy kind of sells it perfectly, where it's like this is the perfect sleeping weather. You know, you're not going, I'm not going to get any sleep because I'm sweating the entire time. But you're also not freezing and going like, if I don't have 15 blankets, I will die tonight.
But see, I appreciate those nights. Like when it's wintertime and I can have two blankets on and I'm nice and cozy in my bed, I just, it's the best.
It's got its place in the world. It's got its place in the world.
Yeah, and it's the top place in the world. It's number one.
I wouldn't say that.
Number one sleeping weather, best sleeping weather is without a doubt the winter.
Fall. Fall.
Fall's pretty good, actually.
Yeah.
I don't know, though, because
it's absolutely fall.
If we're looking at just sleeping weather.
Yeah, it's fall.
Why? What's the argument?
Because it's not too cold. That's the key. Your house is not like freezing if you open up doors or anything like that, or windows. Fall, you have that opportunity. Like if you want to, it's like, it's going to be a little chilly tonight, but I'm going to crack open that window, have the nice natural breeze come in.
Yeah, I guess. This is why fall is kind of the best season.
It's getting up there for me.
Yeah,
it's getting up there for me. I mean, summer is still my favorite.
I just don't appreciate when it snows in October.
That's less than ideal.
That's the only thing I don't want to happen. Please don't do the October storm again. That's just not.
It's a fundamental core memory of mine, and I don't want to relive it.
Well, for me, it was different because I lived down in the South Towns, and that hit mostly up here.
Mm-hmm.
So like you probably had 6 feet of snow in your driveway, whereas I had a foot.
Yeah,
and I'm like, why am I not going to school? I mean, at the same time, I was like, I don't care, I'm not going to school. But all of the teachers lived in like Cheektowaga area.
Yeah.
So none of them could drive to school. So they were like, well, I guess we can't have school.
They're like, I live in frozen hell. And you're like, what are you talking about?
Right. Yeah. And at the time I'm six. So it's like, oh, sweet.
It's the best.
You get to stay home. And I don't even know what I would have been watching at the time. Like
Power Rangers.
SpongeBob. Probably.
Probably.
Yeah. I'm not a Power Rangers guy. Jimmy Neutron. Oh, yeah.
Great shows. So Zach Jones, Josh Mitt here on a Friday. Again, we've ran through the guest list. Going to be a fun day. Also, we're thinking a little bit about a question. I know Joe and Nate were talking about something that Brian Mazurowski brought up a little bit ago, like your favorite – or did potentially your already favorite memory ever already happen at the stadium? I actually tend to agree because I think for me, just real quick on this point, I think for me the only way a memory like that is topped is if the Bills in my lifetime go to a Super Bowl at the stadium. You know, they're never going to win a Super Bowl at the stadium. The Bills are never going to host a Super Bowl.
Oh,
but if they host an AFC championship and go to the Super Bowl, that will be the one for me. I don't attend a lot of games.
That's why everyone brings up the 51-3 win.
And it's totally
because
fair.
that's going to the Super Bowl.
And I totally understand that.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah.
But for me personally, and again, I don't tend to attend a lot of games, so I'm more just thinking like home games. For me, it is the perfect game against New England. My brother did go to that game, so I at least get, you know, some firsthand knowledge of it. But for me, it was just that was in somewhat of a weird and confusing season of 21-22, that was a moment where I thought, oh, not only has Josh Allen arrived, he did that the year prior, but this was like sort of his moment that put him in the same, you know, breath as guys like Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, at that time already Patrick Mahomes. It was exciting. And then, of course, you know, it's somewhat dampered by 13 seconds, but I've gone back a few times now and watched the perfect game. And it's not necessarily its entirety, those like little, like, you know, condensed games, but it's still puts a smile on my face every time I watch it. It is one of the coolest games I've ever watched. And I had zero hype going into it. Absolutely zero hype going into it. Because the season, again, was kind of confusing. It was a very frustrating year for most of it. And I just thought, you'll beat the Patriots, but there's nothing else here. And then watching how badly they beat the Patriots, I was like, well, then, there might be something here. It was like that, and that, I think, game is going to stick with me forever, honestly. I really do. I can't tell you, like, all the players who scored touchdowns. I know Jeremy's, like, gone off on, like, on runs about, like, everyone that scored. But for me, it was the feeling I got throughout the game as the game went on going, they're getting hot at the right time. This is the first time in my life that is happening.
Yeah, I think it's funny because when they were bringing up this conversation, I'm like you. I haven't gone to that many Bills games. I've been to I think two preseason games and only three regular season games. Yeah. So I don't have much to work with there. But of the three I've gone to, one of them being the snowball game, I mean, that's pretty memorable for some fans. The other one, not a good memory, but the Broncos game last year, Ken Dorsey's last game as offensive coordinator.
Yep.
Which, again, it's not like way up there, but it's on the bad memory list.
Mm-hmm.
And my first ever game was the wind game against the Ravens when Trey White picks up the Ravens playbook off the field.
Oh, that was phenomenal.
That was at that moment. It was, yep, Trey White's my favorite player because that was so good. He showed so much just fun character there. It was great. They ended up losing that game, I think. I'm trying to remember now. But still, it's funny because sometimes, like, we've had some callers call in and say, you know, their favorite game was their first game just because it was their first game.
Fair.
Which, totally understandable. I mean, I'm sure there's some in there where your first game was a blowout loss or something. So
mine was pretty good. 2011, I want to say 2011, the Eagles dream team with, like, Michael Vick, DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin against that Bills team that starts the year off hot. I have a fondness for the 2011 team for no reason.
I mean, they started the year off hot.
The first, like, six games of that year just live rent free in my head. That team should have gone like 14-2. I no one can convince me otherwise. But I went to that game initially as an Eagles fan. Like, I liked the Bills. You know, of course, I'm a Buffalo kid, but I, you know, got into football. Josh, me and you have talked about this, the movie Invincible. So I like the Eagles, Vince Papale, all that stuff. But I was sort of, like, transitioning out of being an Eagles fan into a full Bills fan. Like, I was listening to WGR. I was reading Bills articles way more than I was, you know, doing anything with the Eagles. And yet, this is my first game. I was going to go see the Eagles and all that stuff. And then, you know, by the end of the game, I'm like, I'm a Bills fan. I'm a Bills fan. Like, it's done. I was giddy the entire game. I think Vic threw like three interceptions, and I cheered for all of them. And I'm like, I'm not an Eagles fan anymore, am I? And that game, I think I'm always going to remember. I was sitting like way up in like the kids section or like the 300s, but it was a blast. It was me, my dad, and my brother went. And then, I mean, now I haven't really gone to many games after that. I went to the Houston game a few years ago. That was a rainstorm.
The Texans game, right?
Yeah, the Texans game. I think I went to a game in 2013. Yeah, because it was against the Ravens the year after they won the Super Bowl. EJ Manuel's the quarterback. I went with like six of my buddies. We were in like the 100s. I have no idea how we got those tickets. I was just invited along. That game was a lot of fun. Again, in my EJ Manuel phase where I'm like, guys, he's the truth. I don't, like, why are we debating this?
Well, and it's also funny because in our lifetime, it's been largely the drought. So there's those games in the drought where they're memorable because, hey, that was like where we all thought they were finally going to turn a corner. Hey, this is where it was the start of the 2011 season.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's so many moments like that along the drought where if you told yourself in 2011, hey, you're going to have six more years of this. Are you ready? No, you're not.
No.
Because 6 years is a long time.
6 years is a long time. I remember, too, like the EJ Manuel stuff, too. I had a swim coach at the time that I was very close with. I saw him as like an older brother. He was a Florida State alum, and he was obviously a Seminoles fan. And they drafted EJ Manuel. And I think the next day at practice, he just looked at me and goes, the Bills screwed it up again. And I'm like, what do you mean? Like, they took your quarterback? This is great. This is going to be awesome. And he goes, EJ's not good. He's like, I don't know why we're doing this. He's not good. And I, oh, man. That year, too, of just building up and talking about the different quarterbacks and being like, Doug Marrone's the coach. They're going to go for Ryan Nassib from Syracuse. Oh, man. Just a tragedy of events the drought was, man. Just a tragedy of events, especially with the quarterback position. And then even, like, at swim practice, I find out about this trade as well. Like, them trading Kiko Alonso, like, 3 days after I got his jersey and was, like, a big fan, ultimately proved to be wrong. He became a relatively dirty player. But, like, I wasn't even excited for LeSean McCoy because I'm like, they just traded the guy's jersey that I bought.
We both have had such terrible luck with jerseys.
Why don't buy them anymore?
We both got a Gabe Davis jersey the same summer, last summer.
Without knowing. Like, neither of us had mentioned it. We were both just like, no, I believe in Gabe Davis.
We both got white Gabe Davis jerseys, which you had to customize because they didn't have that in the store. And then everything happens this past season. It's like, oh, great. Super cool.
I'm not buying a jersey. The next jersey I will buy is from a retired Bills player.
No, my first Bills jersey was an Eric Mould's jersey after.
My Texas jersey is an Earl Campbell jersey. He hasn't played for the team since the 70s. That's how I feel about Jack Eichel. I bought the 50th anniversary. The next year he is traded.
That's where I have my bad luck too, because all my Sabres jerseys are Jack Eichel, Chris Drury, Derek Roy,
yeah,
Jason Pominville, like all these guys that were, you know, childhood heroes, because I'm 6 years old when it's all happening. And obviously Jack Eichel was just, you know, he's Jack Eichel. But it's all of these great players, and then they're all just gone. As soon as you get the jersey, gone.
Like we were having this conversation 2 years ago at a Sabres game where you're like, you should buy a jersey. And I'm like, why in God's name would I do that? You bought one.
It was the game against the Flames.
Yeah.
When the Sabres had four shots on net with two goals. And I was like, yep, I'm going to go buy my jersey in the intermission here. Come back, sit down, and the Flames score three goals in like 5 minutes. Yeah.
And that went well.
Let's just never buy sports jerseys again.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
I've debated buying
a soccer jersey. And specifically not getting anyone's name on it. Like, just, I want it for my favorite team, and that's it.
They look weird, though.
But they look weird, yes.
Blank jerseys look
weird. I've
had
this conversation with Derek Kramer for years, where he's like, dude, you can get a Sabres sweater and not have a name on it. And I'm like, why would I do that? I'm not, why would I do that?
But that's also where you just start getting, like, retired guys. Like, if you got a Ryan Miller jersey, that's cool. Hashik. The next
Bills jersey I buy is the day Josh Allen retires. I buy his jersey.
Oh, so you're gonna wait that? I'm
100%.
I might just do it.
No, I just have
it already.
No. The moment you purchase it, the curse is on, man, that's fair.
You're right. No, you're right. You're right. Thank you. You've talked me out of it. I'm good.
Almost ruined Josh Allen's career there. Unbelievable. Let's turn this a little positive. We got a little negative. Let's get connected to our fans, and that is brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Let's go to Steve on the line. Steve, good morning. How are we doing today?
Hey, guys. I just want to chime in on that perfect game, and I think a lot of the, you know, I don't say everyone was shocked by how great they played, but, you know, no one was really that optimistic going into that Patriots game because they had looked so terrible against the Falcons, and really that game didn't flip until Matt Ryan got that taunting call on Poyer in the end zone, and then they ultimately
missed
the goal. So, you know, this team can just flip it on out of anywhere, which is why I'm always so, you know, just get to the playoffs, because regardless of how bad they look, when Josh Allen gets on a roll, I mean, it's, you know, it's game time, baby.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah, Steve, thanks for the call. That's the name of the game. When you have a great quarterback like there, you can have, you know, lapses in your team, what have you. Almost the definition of an elite quarterback is bringing a team that is less talented than their opponents and bringing them to victory. I mean, that's effectively the name of the game there. And that's why I have had a point where I'm not as nervous going into this season. Is because, yes, like, Josh Allen is still your quarterback, and it's not like he's 38. It's not like we're at the end of his career and we're sitting here going, they've wasted it. They've wasted it. Sure, I mean, he's going into, what, year seven? But you're right there. You're in a year of transition. That's fine. And if it doesn't go great, fine. You've freed up yourself in cap. You got a ton of draft capital as well. You can make moves. You can operate next year. Not everything has to be perfect as they go. And again, I've said this a lot this summer. They've nailed the hardest part. They got the great quarterback. They're not having the issue that, like, hey, perfect example, the Chargers. Do the Chargers really believe in Justin Herbert? Probably. They paid him a lot of money. But do average fans trust Justin Herbert? I think that's up in the air, because you have seen unbelievable moments. Typically against the Chiefs, he plays great. And then there have been other moments where you're just sitting there going, he just won't throw the ball. What is happening? He just, okay, he's 6'7 with a bazooka over an arm and he's throwing 5 yard outs. What is happening here? Tua Tagovailoa, another perfect example, maybe on the opposite end. He's good, and there is a brick ceiling ahead above him that you just know, like, there's really no chance they're getting above that. And he does have to have a great team around him. I also look at teams like San Francisco, who have a truly unbelievable core of players. For as historic as the San Francisco 49ers franchise is, guys like George Kittle and Fred Warner and Christian McCaffrey are going to go down in, like, the annals of 49ers history. They will be remembered as some of the greatest players to ever play for that franchise, a historic franchise in that, and yet they're at the end of their careers, and who's their quarterback? Trey Lance didn't hit, so it's not this 6'5", 220-pound dual-threat wunderkind. It's Brock Purdy. And no offense to Brock Purdy, but there's not really much there. And we all kind of know that if they pay him $70 million a year, That is not a good sign for the team going forward. If anything, it is a bad sign. While their current core, the great core, is getting really, really old, where the Bills have moved off of that older core that was and have now started to get much, much younger. Will these players hit? Not a clue. I think there's a lot of potential. I really like Khalil Shakir. I saw this morning, Peter Schrager of NFL Network does this every year, his 10 players that he thinks are going to explode. Shakir was on it. Field Yates has Shakir being like one of his true fantasy sleepers, a guy that's like barely being drafted, and he's like, I think he's going to lead the Bills in receptions and catches. I'm somebody that has said I think he could be somebody that flirts with 90 to 100 catches because he has a trust ability with Allen, and he's filling a Cole Beasley role that they have not had since Beasley, and he's bigger and faster than him. And maybe he's not like the most crisp route runner. When Beasley got here, he was well established into his career. But, I mean, it looks to be everything you want in a reliable receiver. I'm not saying he'll be Amon-Ra St. Brown. I'd love that. But if he gives you kind of a light version of that, along with having Curtis Samuel, who McDermott would not say that either him or Marquez Valdes-Scantling are out for week one. And then Kincaid as well. And then we'll see what we get out of Keon Coleman. It's not a bad wide receiver room. And I only bring up the Chiefs from last year, and I've said this a few times, excuse me, as the worst case scenario. A wide receiver room that actively hurt their team. I mean, legitimately hurt them. They still won the Super Bowl. The Bills wide receiver room this year, I cannot see a world in which it is worse or as bad as the Chiefs last year. I just can't. Let's go back to the phones. We've got Bob here on the line. Bob, how are we doing today?
Good, man. How about you?
Doing very well.
Anyway, about these jerseys, I also have a Kiko Alonso jersey that was gifted to me from my friends when they came down to a Tampa game. And I have recently decided not to waste the jersey, but I'm going to have the Alonso covered with Rousseau.
That's not bad. I like that. I forgot that he wore 50. Bob, thanks for the call.
Would that count as part of the curse? Because you're not buying a Greg Rousseau jersey. You're just changing the name.
No, that's fine. You can do that.
That's okay.
Because it still counts. Now, here's the thing, though.
It was originally Alonso jersey.
I think here's the thing, though. And I don't know necessarily if Bob's doing this. You can't take the nameplate off. You've just got to cover it. Like with duct tape.
Yeah.
Because if you take the nameplate off and you put it on, we're Frankenstein monstering this. I think it would be worse.
And technically, in most cases, you have to pay for that. Unless you know how to do it yourself. So
yes.
Then you're paying for a Greg Rousseau jersey. Bob, if you're still listening, duct tape.
Or duct tape is the safe way to go.
Learn how to do it yourself. Because if you do it yourself, you're not paying for it.
Yep.
I think then you're just doing it, right? Like,
yeah.
That's just arts and crafts.
Mm-hmm.
Very advanced arts and crafts, but still.
Gator tweets in, regarding players getting traded, I only get custom authentic jerseys with my own name on it because I, as a fan, can never be traded. Yes! That's what I'm talking about. Yes! That's how you have to handle it. I will never be traded. Because that's the key thing with fans. We're in this for life, whether we like it or not. Which is also why, you know, rebuilds or what have you can be so painful, is because you're like, I can't turn this off. Like, I am a fan 24/7. I mean, it's short for fanatic. And so I get it. That's perfect, though. I personally can't do it, though. I can't do it. I think my dad has a Sabres jersey with his name on it, with our last name Jones on it. But the key thing was for a wedding. That like all the groomsmen in the wedding were wearing the Sabre sweaters with their last names on it. So he didn't necessarily get it for himself. I can't do it. If I show up to a Bills game or a Sabres game with the last name Jones on the back, I feel weird. I feel bad. Namely, I ain't Joe Andreessen. Never had a shot, baby. Not once had a shot to make even my high school football
team. If you're
team.
From the city and you have, it's your jersey, that's a completely different. Or if your family, or if it's your family member.
I was going to say, you yourself can't wear your own jersey, though. That's weird. You got to wear a teammate's jersey. Your family can wear yours. If you're wearing your own jersey, that's a little off.
If you're retired, like if I made the Buffalo Sabres, like if I made it to the NHL, made the Buffalo Sabres retired, and then showed up at a game because I wanted to go watch the game, and I wore my own jersey, that'd be weird. I'd be just showing up to work, like how Howard shows up here and just hangs out.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of what I'd be doing.
Yeah. But I don't know. I would feel weird wearing my own jersey. I would want to wear somebody like on the current Sabres then, or like the current Bills. I'd be repping them.
That's true.
I'm not gonna rep myself. I did that for 20 years or whatever my career. I wore it on game days. It's not game day anymore. I can't.
Wait, let's think about it though. When the legends of the game come back for the Bills and even for the Sabres, they all wear their jerseys.
I think that's more the team wants them to do it though.
That's fair.
I think it's more like, hey, so everyone knows who you are, wear your jersey.
True.
I think it's a big part of it. Where like if I'm just showing up, like that's one thing. That's sort of like I'm doing this for the team. It's a work thing. If I'm just showing up to see a game, I'm in a box seat or something like that.
Actually, now that I think about it, a few times last year when former Sabres were the ones beating the drum at the Sabres game, some of them didn't have jerseys on.
Okay.
Some of them had like suits. So like
okay,
maybe you're right. Maybe you're going somewhere with that. But I personally,
I think of it like this.
If it was my hometown team and I was on it, I would wear my jersey after retirement.
I think of it like this. Like going back to, you know, some of these old Bills games, the cold games, Ryan Fitzpatrick shows up to, you know, the Frozen game. It would damper the moment, I think, if the jersey he's taking off is number 14, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's true.
I think it would ruin the mood a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be exciting, but then you saw him put it back on, you're like, is he wearing his jersey? Why is he?
And then he's got his name taped over it, and it's Diggs.
Okay, that would work.
Yeah.
That would work for Fitzpatrick.
Right, exactly.
As like a person, like that's his personality.
Right.
Oh, that would have been good. That'd have been good. I like that.
I think the moment was much better, though, that he didn't have his jersey. You're right.
Well, that's the thing. We have no idea what he was. He could have. I have no idea.
I'm just saying. I think you're right about this whole like jersey thing. If you're a retired athlete and you played for that team, you should not wear your own jersey unless the team requests you to do it.
Yes.
That's the only.
If it's a team event, you can do it.
If you're just showing up for a random Tuesday night, well, for football, it wouldn't be Tuesday night, but you know what I mean.
Well, they did have a Tuesday night game.
That's true. But if you're just showing up on a random game,
I can't do it.
I don't think you can do it.
You're right.
You're right.
I lose a little something for you.
Your family can. You're absolutely right about your family.
The family can. You can't. 803-0550 is the number to call. How do you feel about buying jerseys of current players? Me and Josh both have a bad feeling about it. We've been burned too many times. Love to hear your thoughts. But coming up after a quick timeout, we'll get a word in on the Carolina Panthers. Mike K. covers the Panthers for the Charlotte Observer.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
River Hill join the show here after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
My hope is to get the starters out there early in the game, get them some exposure, and the importance of it to me is how valuable the night before prep is. Waking up in the morning, we have a 1 o'clock kick. We got a lot of those this year. Mm-hmm. So just the body readiness, you know, the plan behind this camp was to practice early so that we can have that readiness.
There is Panthers head coach Dave Canales in his first year with the team. He is somebody I very much like and really only started to kind of pay attention to once he got the Carolina Panthers job, having been the QB coach in Seattle, sort of being, I guess, the mastermind behind Geno Smith's career revitalization, and then becomes the OC in Tampa Bay and does, I mean, the same thing for Baker Mayfield. And now he gets Bryce Young. He's in Carolina, a team that is very much, I don't know where to go with them. And on that point, we go now to the Western Hotline as Mike Kay of the Charlotte Observer joins us. And yeah, Mike, I find the Panthers, like, I think they're not a good team, but I also just, I feel like I don't hear anything about them.
Well, you know, that happens when you go 2-15.
That's fair.
And fire a coach for two consecutive seasons in the middle of the season. So, look, I mean, I think this is a work in progress. I don't think they're going to be nipping at the heels of the playoff contention bracket right away. But I do think this is a good building block year. I think training camp showed the type of energy Canales can bring to a program. Bryce Young looks much improved. Will he be a top 20 quarterback? We'll see. But he definitely won't be among the worst. And so I think that's a step in the right direction.
I think it's a good way to start here is with Bryce Young. He, it felt like, especially because of the record last year, as you brought up, but it felt like he just completely got forgotten because of C.J. Stroud and the year he had. And it just felt like no one was even paying attention to Bryce Young. So how has he looked so far through training camp? Because I believe as well that this Saturday will be the first time we actually get to see him take snaps in the preseason.
Yeah, for this year. They sat out the starters the first two games, but he looked good. I mean, he had a really strong final 2 weeks of training camp. He looks like he's improved his accuracy in several elements of his throws. His mechanics look great. He's throwing with confidence. He's throwing the ball downfield a little bit more. I think he's really improved as a fade ball thrower. He's taking a lot more chances, but he's been extremely accurate. I think he is set up to succeed in this offense where Canales builds in cheat codes and decision-making elements and wrinkles before anything actually happens. I think Bryce is going to be able to hone in on what he needs to do on a play-to-play basis.
And then up to this point, why is it that the starters now are going to play in week three? It feels like now that the league has condensed it to three preseason games. Every kind of team has their different flavor where it used to be, you know, the third game was the dress rehearsal, fourth game is a lot of the backups, guys looking to make the roster will play. Now it's a little bit different. Carolina, though, I'll be honest, up until Canales, you know, confirmed it, I was prepared for no starters to play and this to be very much just a backup versus backup game.
Well, they've had some injury woes on their offensive line, and really that was the story of last year. So I think the idea was putting Bryce out there with a makeshift offensive line doesn't really help him or help their evaluation process. They want to keep him clean, but the majority of the starting offensive line will play in this game, allegedly. And they got Damian Lewis, a guy that they paid a lot of money to back at left guard. Robert Hunt is healthy at right guard. Austin Corbett is transitioning to center after years at right guard. So they probably want to see the functionality of that. I think for Bryce, it's about having ideal circumstances because last year was anything but ideal. And so I think to throw him out there with makeshift personnel is probably not what they wanted. I also think, you know, as Canales said in the soundbite you played, This is a 1 o'clock kickoff. They're going to have like a normal regulated game day week sort of vibe. I know it's Saturday and not Sunday, but they can prepare for a 1 o'clock game like they will, I believe, for like 15 of the 17 games that they played this year. So I think that that was important as well.
I want to look at the wide receiver room, mainly because there was a clip from Canales, I think towards the beginning of training camp, when he was talking about Diontae Johnson, and I think the context there was like wide receiver one and who's kind of, you know, the target on the offense, and he spoke fairly highly of him. What have you seen from Johnson up to this point, along with the rest of the young wide receiver group, of course, Xavier Leggett? Terrace Marshall is still there. I remember him kind of being the third wheel of that great LSU team. What else have you seen?
Well, I mean, Canales is a former wide receivers coach. Their offensive coordinator, Brad Izick, is a former wide receivers coach. And then their wide receivers coach, Rob Moore, is a former Pro Bowl wide receiver. So I think this is going to be a very wide receiver-centric offense and coaching staff. And you're seeing the fruits of that. Diontae Johnson looks like a true number one wide receiver. He's open all the time when he's on the field. He's been dealing with an illness this week and had a groin injury the week before. Thielen looks like Mr. Reliable. He's coming off 100 catch, 1,000-yard season, and now he doesn't have to be the number one target. Jonathan Mingo has made pretty big strides this summer. He had a letdown rookie year after being taken the second round by Reich and company. And then, look, Terrace Marshall has had a really nice summer. We'll see if that amounts to him making the roster or them trying to trade him for a position of need or a conditional pick. But I think he's really started to show some promise. The past couple of years, he's looked really good before pads came on and then disappeared when they did come on. This year, he's kind of putting it all together. He had a great joint practice against the Jets, made DJ Reed look like a practice squad candidate.
Mike Kay on the Western Hotline, covers the Panthers for the Charlotte Observer. Mike, last thing for me, and I like to do this with any guest that comes on covering different teams, but I always like to get kind of the vibe, the feel of these teams heading into the season. I talked with a guest from Chicago a few weeks ago, and it was, you know, hey, like we've entered the year of our Lord 2024. We're finally playing offense and stuff like that, and it was a lot of excitement, but on the opposite end, the Carolina Panthers, I would imagine fans look at Caleb Williams and go, that should be our guy, or what could have been. So what have you kind of felt from fans this summer?
Well, I don't think it's just Caleb Williams. They traded DJ Moore. They traded other picks, and it was a big gamble. And so far, you know, trading for the number one overall pick and giving up a future number one overall pick is never the solution. But then again, you never go into making that deal thinking you're going to regress to the point where you're the worst team in the league. You make that trade because you think you're that one piece away. And so I think that that's backfired tremendously. I still think Bryce Young can be a competent starting quarterback in the NFL for a very long time. I just think there is a lot of what if, and you know, if Canales can start progressing forward with Young, I think those thoughts will go to the back of everybody's mind until Caleb Williams leaves Chicago on like a run. But the reality is that they know that this team really needs to make up ground quickly and appease the fan base, because since the Matt Rhule era, this franchise has struggled mightily.
Bad form by me, but actually one more thing. I completely forgot Joe Brady. He was in Carolina for 2020 and 21, and I did want to ask this, but I haven't really been able to go back and look at the games and what have you, but I look at that 2020 year when he was the offensive coordinator. Teddy Bridgewater almost throws for 4,000 yards. He has almost three wide receivers at 1,000 yards. What do you remember, because you brought up Matt Rhule there, what do you remember from that 2020-21 season when at least it comes with Joe Brady?
Well, I was covering the Eagles at the time. I've only been in Carolina for 2 years, but just from the outside looking in, it did seem like Joe Brady was on the cusp of greatness and being talked about the way that Ben Johnson is. So it's really interesting to see him land in Buffalo and have the success that he is trying to accomplish with Josh Allen. I think, you know, he's a bright name and has a bright future, and it's a short setback for a big launching point if the Bills can start, you know, progressing in the playoffs even further, and, you know, Josh Allen continues to live up to what he has been the last several years.
All right, Mike, thank you so much, man, for joining us today. Are you coming up for the game tomorrow, or are you staying at home?
I'm staying at home. but I will be watching.
Good for you, man. It's a preseason game. There's no need to travel. There's no need to deal with airports, man. Thanks for joining us, and hope you enjoy the game.
Thanks. You too.
That was Mike Kay on the Westar Hotline. Covers the Carolina Panthers for the Charlotte Observer. They are a team I want to say I like want to see more from them this year, but it is always painful to do so after it does feel like they've whiffed so bad at the quarterback position. It's nice to hear, though, that Bryce Young doesn't look bad by any means at camp. I think that is a very important thing. I don't hate Bryce Young by any means. I find myself just looking around going, oof, like it just a swing and a miss. A buddy of mine from college is a huge Carolina Panthers fan. I still remember when we drafted Josh Allen. 2 hours later, my buddy texted me going, you just got your version of Cam Newton. He was the first person I remember, you know, after the Bills had drafted him, being like legitimately super positive and like couldn't wait for it to work for us. And I'll just never forget that. But then like the last few years, like we'll text, you know, periodically during the football season. And last year for him, it was like, dude, I've stopped watching. Like, this is painful, and I want to die. Like, he was just having the worst time, and I felt bad. He's like, I'm watching Caleb Williams games, knowing for a fact, like, he will never play for my favorite football team, and this is awful. And that's why I kind of wanted to check also on the vibes for Carolina Panthers fans. And Mike brought it up, too. It's like, you know, you got to appease the fan base as well. I mean, this is a fan base that is now seeing a lot of head coaches get fired very quickly. Like, no plans can get established. No ground can be made. And it's just it's very sad to watch. I never like seeing bad football teams, like be bad and can't figure it out. I don't like seeing that for any sports team. I want sports teams to figure it out because I like that for fans, even fans I don't necessarily like. And in Carolina, I think it's just being run into the ground, which is weird because about 10 years ago, they were 15-1 and Cam Newton looked like he was going to be, you know, the face of the league for the next 10 years. And in reality, it was very fleeting, very, very quick. Let's go back to the phone zone. We were talking about jerseys as well. 803-0550 is the number to call. You want to jump in on that. Me and Josh, not a big fan of buying jerseys of current players. It has bit us in the you-know-what way too many times. But let's go to Jimmy here on the line. Jimmy, how are we doing today, man?
Not too bad. And yourself, guys?
Doing well, doing well.
Yeah. So I want to say I do have an Allen jersey, but what caused me to change my opinion is I went all in on Trent Edwards after he started 5-0, and we all know how that played out.
That's fair. It's okay.
So now I like being the guy that's like kind of the conversation piece. Like you go to a game and you see a jersey and it sticks out. You're like, is that guy seriously wearing, you know, player X? And I have a Coy Wire jersey, and I'm thinking about adding a Sean Merriman or Vontae Davis jersey because I think it's hilarious. Like it's a conversation piece. I'm still a fan of the team. They did play for him. They're not in the league anymore, so you don't have to worry about him bouncing to another team or anything like that. And I think it'll go good with my Lawson throwback as well.
Jimmy, I think you're spot on with that. Thanks for the call, man. The conversation piece jersey, I think, is the right way to go about it.
Like you see the Sabres Saro Sugimoto jerseys,
yeah,
the fake player,
yeah,
that the Sabres drafted in what, 1974 or something like that.
It was like their third draft ever or something like that.
Yeah,
it was very early,
and they were just like, you know what, this is stupid. Why are we in the 15th round of the draft? Let's just draft a fake person from Japan.
That's awesome. Like that's so good.
Yeah, they were just like, we're done.
Talked about more.
Yeah, right. But I just...
I'm 30 for 30 on the meeting that went on in that draft room of like, who came down with the decision of let's draft a fake player?
I honestly think they might have done that. I'm not going to lie. I think they're maybe not a 30 for 30, but I think there's definitely like a documentary.
That's
about
fine.
It.
I as long as it's like 20 minutes, I just need interviews from like former scouts that are like, yeah, like we pulled straws on what the name was going to be, you know, like the country, the same. Like, that's all I need. I will be glued.
We
for
threw
an
darts at a map and whatever it landed was the country it was going to be.
Yeah, because, you know, like, you know, it was the 70s, so we didn't have a time limit on the draft. It just took forever. There's like 30 rounds.
I'm trying to think who the best recent players for this would be.
Matt Leinart.
Ooh. That's a great
answer.
Because
you're here for the preseason.
Yep.
I want like a Matt Leinart Bills jersey.
Yeah.
I don't particularly like Matt Leinart though.
Ooh.
Like I think
Tavon Austin.
Tavon Austin. Oh, Tavon Austin's a good one. He just retired. That's a good one. I like that. Oh, all right. We got to take a break. I kind of want to talk about some of the obscure Bills jerseys or Sabres jerseys we could have for conversations pieces. 803-0550 is the number to call. Coming up at 11 o'clock, though, we will have Sal Capaccio's interview with UB head coach Pete Lembo. Last night it was announced by Coach Lembo that CJ Agbana will be the Bulls' starting quarterback when they take on Lafayette next week. We'll hear more about UB's season coming up at 11 o'clock. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It's brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We're talking jerseys today. Fun jerseys. Not wanting to buy jerseys because you're terrified of your own dark magic that you have that ruins players' careers. It's a good time. It's a good time, especially on a Friday. Let's go here to the phones. We've got Mark on the line. Mark, how are we doing today, man?
Good morning, sir. Doing well. Yourself?
Doing very well.
Hey, you know what? You in the last segment, you were talking about the Taro Tsujimoto, and you thought you recollected a documentary that was done. It wasn't a 30 for 30. It was actually something that TSN had done to kick off the draft coverage, NHL draft coverage, about 10, 12 years ago.
Yes.
And it was entitled The Man Who Never Was. And it's about a 10 or 12-minute documentary. And quickly, the specifics are the name Tsujimoto actually was a vegetable stand in the town of Elma. And Paul Whelan had to drive from the Odd down to Bonaventure, down to Olean. He went through Elma. And so he's the one who came up with, well, Tsujimoto sounds fine because I saw it on a road stand. He actually orchestrated. They called Tsujimoto. Mr. Tsujimoto was actually on the phone a little confused, explained what they were doing and whatnot. And it was actually Mr. Tsujimoto that was asked what would be a popular Japanese name, and he said, well, Taro would be, you know, and what's the Japanese word for saber? And he said, well, katana. Okay, there were the Tokyo katanas. But it was in that documentary, and a couple of the funny parts. You can ask Danny Gare. He was part of the documentary. He's laughing his tail off, saying that he has no doubt that Paul Whelan was behind the whole thing, as well as the guy who was actually the commissioner at the time. He would call, and the Sabres broadcast, or the Sabres draft team, had been assembled in the Odd, and they sit there in this dungeon for an hour waiting to hear back, to hear who the last 20 picks were before they pick again. And it was that's when they concocted this story. Well, the guy who was the commissioner and making this phone call was actually a lawyer during the Nuremberg World War II Nazi trials, so he had no sense of humor at all. So he bought it at first, of course. He was duped at first, but he wasn't amused that they tried this. obviously, he didn't have a lot of sense of humor. But the name of the documentary is on TSN. It's called The Man Who Never Was.
Mark, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'm watching this today. I have got a two-hour lunch. I'm watching it. It's like 10 to 15 minutes. I'm watching this. We need to talk about this more. That, like, the Sabres, like, third draft ever, they were like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to mess with everybody because this is too long.
The more I think about it, I bet you they made this documentary video thing when the draft was in Buffalo. Because he said it happened about 10 years ago.
Oh!
It would make sense.
It would make sense to do that.
2013, I think, was
drafts
the
draft. Drafts in Buffalo.
Yeah, 2013.
Here's maybe one of the more famous NHL draft moments that the Buffalo Sabres did. Again, the moment they entered the league. Oh, that's phenomenal. That's fantastic. Imbolc was the GM at the time. And oh, man, it's my favorite thing. That, like, it's just, I don't think it's talked about enough.
It was, well, wait, 2014. Where was the, let's find out.
I thought the 2014 draft was in Buffalo.
I thought it was, no, that was in Philly.
Was it 2016?
Okay. 2016 was in Buffalo. 2013 was New Jersey.
Oh,
still.
It's the best thing
regardless.
Ever.
That it's actually, that would be 50 years from the draft because it happened in 1974. So
yeah.
50 years ago from that
yep.
draft. So that works.
That makes sense
yeah.
then. All right, let's get one more call in here before we take our next time out. Joe is on the line. How are we doing today, Joe?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm calling in about someone had just called about conversation piece jerseys. Mm-hmm. My friend just got an Ed Wang jersey in, but he took it a step further. He even got a custom made where he has like the Chinese alphabet. Like,
oh, that's awesome.
I know. He showed it to me at first and I looked at it and I was like, I got to be honest, I don't even know what this is. And then he told me and I thought it was hysterical. I'm like, he'll definitely, you know, he wears his OJ jersey a lot.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to, you know, strike up conversation. But when you showed me that Ed Wang jersey with the actual Chinese character on the back, I thought it was hysterical.
That is awesome. Joe, thanks for the call. If those that don't know, Ed Wang was drafted by the Bills back in 2010 out of the in the fifth round. He was the first ever, first full-blooded Chinese player to play and be drafted in the NFL. Didn't play too long for the Bills. Ultimately, was placed on injured reserve, I think, in 2011. It was eventually waived and didn't have too much of a career after that. But that's awesome. And then to have the Chinese letters as well, that's really, really cool. All right, got to take a quick timeout. Coming up next at around 11:05, we're going to listen back to Sal Capaccio's conversation with UB football head coach Pete Lembo. They just named their starting quarterback.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Back. They've got their first game next week. College football officially starts tomorrow. We'll listen back to that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Taking your calls on fun jersey stories. We're talking fake Sabres players, bad jersey stories, you know, fun, obscure ones as well. If you want to join that conversation, 803-0550 is the number to call. But first, we are going to hear our own Sal Capaccio's conversation with UB Bulls football head coach Pete Lembo from earlier today.
University of Buffalo Bulls head coach Pete Lembo joins me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coach, it's great to finally connect with you. We've tried to do it over the last several months, but your schedule, my schedule, but finally we're able to do this, and it's right before football season. Thanks for doing this today.
Yeah, it's awesome. We're in game week. It's been a long preseason, a good preseason. These kids are really bought into what we're doing the last 7 months since we got here, but it's good to finally be honing in on a first game. And we're looking forward to a great night on Thursday.
For sure. We're going to get into that in a little while. But let's get to the important stuff first. I'm a Syracuse guy and you're a Georgetown guy. I don't know how this interview is going to go from here on out, to be quite honest.
Yeah. No, those are. I know you're a lot younger than me, but those were some great times to watch college basketball. I actually grew up a Villanova fan.
Wow.
Roland Massimino was my guy.
Yes.
You know, I'm Italian. You know, how could you not like Villanova basketball back in the 80s? And then I end up at Georgetown going to class with Mutombo and Mourning and guys like that every day.
Amazing, right? Yeah, I was at Syracuse. I'm not much younger than you, by the way. I went to Syracuse in the early 90s, and I was there during a lot of those rivalries as well. It was absolutely fantastic. And look, let's be honest, the coaches made the Big East, right? P.J. Carlissimo, you know, obviously, you know, St. John's, Syracuse, Georgetown, all the great coaches that came along. And it's unfortunate now that it's not like that anymore. And now it's, you know, things have changed. It's the business side of things that have really changed it. But, man, those were the glory days. I mean, the Requiem for a Big East on ESPN is amazing.
I couldn't agree more, and you're so right. And actually, P.J. Carlissimo was at Wagner College where I grew up, and he and my dad knew each other, and I was kind of a gym rat up there running around at Wagner when he was the coach. But your point is well taken, and I really hope that we can establish ourselves, myself and the rest of our staff here in Western New York, and immerse ourselves in the community to have those same kind of relationships that those coaches had with their institutions and in their communities. And everybody's just been so friendly, so hospitable, so welcoming. I feel like I've been here 7 years already, not 7 months.
Well, you've been in the conference, but now you're in charge of the program at the University of Buffalo. What have you liked about Buffalo itself? And really what's maybe surprised you, maybe something you didn't expect about the community here in Western New York?
Yeah, the sense of community is tremendous. And the reception we've gotten, and yes, you have to go meet people halfway. You know, we're not in the deep South or something where college football is so ingrained in the culture that people are just going to show up like they did at South Carolina, 80,000 strong, win or lose. But our team has been out there in the community a bunch. I've tried to get out there in the community a bunch. And what we've seen is a very warm welcome, a very receptive Western New York to what we're trying to do. And it's got to start at the grassroots and on a personal level. And if people know you, if they feel a connection, they feel an accessibility to your program, then they're a lot more likely to come. And we're trying to create a great atmosphere around the program and hopefully put a great product on the field that people are excited to come spend 3.5 hours with their family.
No doubt about it. And obviously a lot of changes in college football, in college sports. Is it a situation, Coach, where you kind of have to adapt or die, right? You know what I mean? Like you have to embrace the changes. If you push back against it and you're always, you know, kind of miserable about it, then you're not doing anybody, especially your own program, any good.
1,000%. When they eliminated the year you had to sit out to transfer, they started the portal, NIL, coming out of COVID, all of these things all came together at the same time. And it was a dramatic change 3 or 4 years ago now for college football. And for somebody who's been doing it over 30 years like me, it was a challenge. But you're exactly right. I've really come to embrace it. And why you do it, the relationships with the players, investing in them and their growth, that hasn't changed. What has changed is it's going to be more like the NFL in terms of the changes to your roster every year. But that doesn't mean that you don't try to build those relationships and try to make a difference in a young man's life. All it means is you might not have somebody for 4 or 5 years the way you used to.
Coach Pete Lembo joining me here on the Western Hotline, University at Buffalo. And, of course, football season kicking off here, college football this weekend, the NFL next weekend. How's everything gone for you as far as on the field, spring workouts, getting into training camp here and getting ready for the season?
Yeah, the buy-in has been tremendous. It has been a pleasure to work with these guys. I can count the number of practices since we got here on one hand that I haven't been totally excited about the effort and the chemistry that's building out there. So I do believe these guys love what they do. They're invested. They're buying into the culture. They're practicing hard. I think that'll translate to playing hard. Now the key is how quickly can we come together and put a product out there on the field to look as if we've been together for a few years and not just a few months. And I think that's going to be the big challenge in week one. First week games, I believe, always come down to the team that makes the least mistakes, the team that is the most cohesive. And we've got a good opponent coming in with Lafayette. They won their conference championship last year. They've got a veteran quarterback, a veteran running back, really well-coached team. I was in the Patriot League for many years, so I know the quality of that league. So, again, I think the key is coming out and playing really cohesively, limiting mistakes, We do have a veteran group on defense. I'm expecting those guys to carry over what they've done in the spring and in preseason and hopefully get us off to a good start.
Lafayette at Buffalo Thursday night, 7 p.m. It's a home game for UB. It'd be great to have great support out there for the University of Buffalo Bulls. You mentioned it's a new roster every year. You mentioned you have some core players as well, though. Can you give the fans listening a little sense of some of the guys that they might be seeing on the field that are going to be some of your key contributors on offense and defense this year?
Absolutely. Well, the first guy worth mentioning is a local guy, Sean Dolak, and a really interesting story. 14 guys left the program after last season, and Sean was out at Utah State, and I think keeping in touch with his former teammates and hearing about the transition, decided to come back after the spring semester when the portal opened back up. And what a godsend he has been, because he's a veteran leader. He's very mature. He's very savvy. And he's handled himself impeccably well throughout the summer months, and has really become the vocal leader of that defense. Another linebacker, Red Murdoch, is a wonderful young man from Richmond, Virginia, very productive player on last year's team. And those two guys are really sidekicks there in the middle of our defense. We've got a pretty veteran defensive front that has presented some challenges for our offensive line during preseason. So I hope they certainly measure up to that same ability and productivity against Lafayette and in the rest of our games next year. Another local guy to note on the offensive side of the ball is Nick McMillan, who has been very productive, very steady for us as a wide receiver, and expecting good things out of him. And one of the best things I could tell you about Nick is he works just as hard at blocking on the perimeter as he does going up and catching deep balls. So that says a lot about the type of unselfish young man that he is.
Coach, I know that you didn't particularly coach these players, but a lot being made of Joe Andreessen coming from UB now with what he did last week with the Bills. Jamarcus Ingram, who I think has had a fantastic – I've loved Jamarcus for a few years here, another former Bull, and Cam Lewis, now 6 years in the NFL. How cool is it just to be a part of a program that's, you know, let's be honest, like a mid-major is what you referred to in the MAC, and have three guys who might be regular contributors here? We'll see what happens with Andreessen coming up for the Buffalo Bills in the NFL and how you guys can embrace that and also use that as part of, hey, come to UB and this is, you know, what you can be a part of.
You're absolutely right. And it's the beauty of college football. It's the American way. You know, you compete, you work hard, and hopefully good things happen for you. And you make the most of your opportunities. And I just actually had a phone conversation with Joe the other day.
I love it.
I've been following his progress and obviously didn't get a chance to coach him, but I wanted to reach out and just wish him well going into a big weekend for him. So it's been great to hear about his success and everyone else's. And whether it's Xavier Leggett that I coached at South Carolina last year, who will be in town this weekend, or somebody who is a free agent who's fortunate enough to make the 53-man roster or even the practice squad. I mean, that's the good stuff in the transition from college football to the NFL.
Coach, you go back. You started your coaching career, I'm reading, you were a GA at Albany in 1992. Obviously, you were a head coach once before as well at Ball State. What have you learned about coaching and evolving yourself, just personally, how you've had to evolve over the years from even back in the 90s? The game has changed, but you personally evolving as a coach, what did you learn along the way?
Yeah, you have to push yourself out of your comfort zone. I was a head coach for 15 years at three different schools and then chose to go back and be an assistant. I had not coached at the Power 5 level, took a job in the Big Ten, then got a chance to coach in the SEC. And I've learned so much the last 8 years going back to be an assistant coach. And I feel like at 54, this is the best version of me in terms of my knowledge and my expertise. And obviously, I got to shake off a little bit of rust because I haven't had to call timeouts in 8 years. But I think that's the key, is do it for the right reasons, which we talked about earlier. It's all about the relationships and the wonderful people that football brings together, and then keep trying to learn and keep trying to get better at what you do a little bit every day. And now I'm at a point in my career where we might have some 23-year-old GA, just like I was back in 1992, that I'm learning from.
And you obviously coach special teams. When you were in South Carolina, very high-level special teams. You guys rank nationally in a lot of categories very highly. I'm curious, are you paying attention to what's happening in the NFL with the kickoff rules? And that could come into college at some point. Like what are you – are you not really caring about it because it's not college? Or, like, how do you kind of go about looking at that?
Well, you have to control what you can control. But when some of those changes were made, I talked to a few other media folks about – you know, how it might impact things and how it might end up trickling down to college. So we're living in our world, but we're certainly aware that the game continues to evolve and change. And, the player safety components of it have been really at the forefront here. I feel like the last 4 or 5 years, you know, they eliminated the wedges on kickoff return. They created these barriers, which the NFL has taken to another level in terms of the kickoffs and changed them again. So the landscape keeps changing, the rules keep changing, and like you said earlier, it's just up to us as coaches to adapt and make the most of it.
Coach Pete Lembo joining me here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with Coach Lembo. All right, Coach, let's get to the really good stuff here. If I put your iPhone or whatever you use for music on shuffle, what is the most likely band or artist to come up?
It's probably going to be The Doors.
Okay.
Maybe Fleetwood Mac, a close second. Got a bunch of Police on there.
Yeah.
Some Meatloaf, some of The Who. And I'm a big one-hit wonder guy.
Okay.
So if you hit it, you know, don't be surprised if Tommy Two Tone doesn't show up on there. Or the Wallflowers, or the Ides of March with Vehicle from 1970. You know, so it's going to be a mix of those, those classic rock bands that had big time hits, album after album, with just a smattering of some of those one hit wonders, just to keep you sharp.
Yeah, listen, you and I, we must share the same kind of taste. I love that kind of stuff. I get a little heavier, too, sometimes. Listen, I can listen to the Backstreet Boys, but I'm also a big Iron Maiden fan, right? Like, I mean, nice. Let's go. Motley Crue, like, I'm into all that, too.
Well, you know, those of us that grew up in, high school during the 80s,
right.
it was big hair,
yes.
And it was a little bit of that hard rock, right? So.
No doubt.
I totally understand.
And then I can do the whole Phil Rizzuto part in Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell and Paradise by the Dashboard Light. Like, is that you on the dance floor? If it comes on at a wedding, are you getting into Meatloaf and singing that?
The only way I get out on the dance floor is if Jen Lembo drags me out there. So I will leave it on this note. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
I love that. I love that. Let me ask you this real quick. TV. I know you love pop culture. I know you love Seinfeld. Let's go way back though. Late 80s. What was the Thursday night lineup? We had Cosby Show, Night Court, right? I mean, like, remember the Thursday
Martin
night
post on Night Court. Now you're talking.
Yes, of course. Right. And Bull, right. Like, it was the Thursday. I'm at Syracuse in the 90s. It's like, I can't go out until Friends is done, like at 9 o'clock or whatever on a Thursday night. I did scheduled no class on Friday to be able to do that. But that's you, right? Living in those sitcoms in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah. And I remember, in the 90s, working my rear end off, breaking into coaching, and Jen Lembo would videotape. We'd had the VHS ready on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. And then Thursday night was Get Caught Up night. So if it was Hill Street Blues or something like that, you didn't want to miss a week. So that was like Thursday night date night. We didn't have enough money to go out. So we'd make hamburgers on the grill or something and watch Hill Street Blues.
Everybody was working for the weekend, you might want to say, Coach Lembo.
Love
right?
It.
That's what I love. Hey, why don't you give everybody here in Buffalo a chance? I want you to give your best reason and tell everybody why they should come out to watch the UB Bulls play against Lafayette Thursday night at 7 p.m.
Great kids. I mean, these are true student athletes. They're still doing it for the right reasons. They're bright kids. They love being in Buffalo. They love being at UB. They work extremely hard. And I'm very proud of them, even though we haven't played a game yet. Just the way they've handled themselves through this transition and the way they've immersed themselves on campus and how important football is to them. These guys are doing it for the right reasons, and I think they're going to make us proud.
That was UB head coach Pete Lembo there with Sal Capaccio. I found out through that interview that me and Coach Lembo have way too much in common. Big college basketball fan. I'm a big Big East guy. Sal brought up the 30 for 30, Requiem of a Big East. It's one of my favorite documentaries. Not just 30 for 30s, but one of my favorite documentaries. I'm also, yeah, big Fleetwood Mac guy. If the chain comes on, everyone stop talking. We're listening to one of the greatest breakup albums ever. We're gonna listen to all of Rumors now. We're going to listen to The Chain and then all of Rumors. It's the best. Josh, have you ever watched some of those like Fleetwood Mac, like not music videos, but like live performances when they in the 70s, in the 80s? Oh man, I when the show's done, I got to show you a video watching Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks very clearly like hating each other while singing a song together. Peak entertainment. It is phenomenal. Look up anything on the writing of the Rumors album. That should be a movie, and it should have been a movie like 30 years ago. It is so good. But let's go back to getting connected to our fans, taking your calls on jerseys and everything like that. Do you have bad omens like me and Josh do? Do you like to have kind of the conversation pieces? We're listening to all that. Again, 803-0550 is the number to call. But let's go to Kevin here on the line. Kevin, how are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Doing very well.
So I have a couple different things. So I'm embarrassed to say it, but I was a Nathan Peterman supporter. So the year that he won the job, I got a jersey. And then it was basically irrelevant after week two. And then previously I had an EJ Manuel jersey. And that's like my Bills jersey. And then for the Sabres, I have a couple different bad scenarios. The Christmas before Jason Palmville got traded, I got that Christmas that year. I had Victor Olofsson's jersey, number 68, before he changed it.
Yes.
To 71.
You got the
and
good
then
jersey.
My biggest one that I have is I have a Jonas Enroth alternate yellow jersey.
The Turd Burger. Oh,
yes.
My God. That is so good.
This is good. This
I
is
feel
good.
Like I'm the only one in the world that has that.
Which is good. That's the conversation piece right there, is the Turber Jonas Enroth jersey. It's perfect.
Yeah, that's what I have for you.
That is perfect.
That's amazing.
Kevin, thanks for the call, man.
I'm in the same boat as Kevin, the Pominville story. I got a Pominville jersey the same Christmas before he got traded.
I am a disaster
awful.
When it comes to reading the tea leaves when it comes to getting a jersey. Like, usually you can sort of see it coming that a player
when I bought the Eichel jersey, it was a winter classic Eichel jersey from the year they played the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
But it was on sale because it was the year after. So it was like 2019. And I'm like, you know what? It's Jack Eichel. He's the captain. He's gonna be here forever. Little did I know, the world would come crashing down.
2 months later.
Yeah. No, because it was 2019. It was the end of the 2019 season.
Oh, okay.
So we're a whole year before, you know,
the times came.
The COVID shortened season, like you end the season early, and then that off season where everything starts to brew, and then the beginning of that other shortened season where it's like, all right, you got Taylor Hall, you got Jack Eichel, we're going to be fine. And then everything fell down. So it was really like, I had like a good 3 year period where I was like, man, this jersey's really nice. It's awesome. It's still a nice jersey.
That is the only jersey I own for the Sabres is the Jack Eichel one.
The 50th anniversary.
The 50th anniversary. Yeah. I'm not a big jersey guy. And a lot of it is due to the, you know, bad omens I get. But also, like, I like to, when I buy clothes, I like to think I'm going to wear it around. And I'm going to wear a jersey around kind of guy. But, like, I'm not going to lie. Like, after that, I'm like, I'm not getting another one. Like, I'm not going to do it.
Well, and like I said,
the closest I got, and I think you were a part of it. It was you and Derek Kramer. I was going to get a Dylan Cousins one.
You were, and you should have, and you still should.
What do you mean I should have?
Why?
We saw how last year went.
Yeah, and you
just
didn't.
Just the thought
and you
did
didn't.
That.
No. I'm convinced the thoughts do nothing. It would have happened even if you didn't. Even if you did buy the jersey, it would have happened. I think you should still get it.
But that would have confirmed all of my worst fears.
Fair. I bought a Tage Thompson jersey last year. How do you think I feel? It's my fault.
Fair.
It's my fault.
That felt like maybe like the most sure thing. Like, guys, he just scored like 50 goals. Like, and he's only ascending. This is great. And then
This is the this is why you can't be superstitious about sports if you don't play them. Because as a fan being superstitious, it is. It's so tiring.
See, that's the thing. That's the thing. I was never superstitious as an athlete. I swam for 12 years. I went into college. There was some stuff I just did, but it was part of the routine. I mean, like, I very much understand when teams, like, we heard the Dave Canales clip, like, getting into a routine of having a 1 o'clock game and what you do. very much understand that. And a lot of it was just taking care of my body, what have you, warming up and cooling down, stretching, what have you. But it wasn't superstitious. It was just like, if I don't do this, like, my body's not ready to go. As a fan, very superstitious.
Zach,
very superstitious.
Every game day as a soccer goaltender in high school,
yeah,
I had to have the same flavor Pop-Tarts for breakfast.
See, that's too far for me.
You know what, though? We won 9 of 12 games my senior year. That's all I'm saying.
It was all you.
It's all me. It's all because I ate the right kind of Pop-Tarts.
Let's go back to the phones. We've got Drew here on the line. Drew, how are we doing today?
Good. I'm completely with you about Fleetwood Mac, by the way. I think I have rumors on vinyl, and I've worn the grooves all the way out. So.
Yes!
As far as the jerseys go, I pretty much only buy retro, throwback players now, because, like, I have a Kyle Williams jersey. It's all stained up. Can't really wear it much anymore. I still do wear my Steve Tasker jersey that my mom bought for me in 1994 when I was 11. I can still wear it.
Oh, beautiful. Good for you.
But I got burned pretty bad. One other retro one I got. I bought a new white Sabres jersey, but I got 00 Baron on it because I figured, well, you know, he's a great guy.
That's perfect.
But I got burned once when I had season tickets to the Bandits from like 2013 to like 2018 or something. Mm-hmm. And I bought a Bandits jersey. And I went and I was going to get a custom jersey. I was going to get LUVLAX on it. Mm-hmm. And the girl's like, well, you got to pay for it all up front if you want a custom. If you want a player, you can put a deposit down and pay for the rest when you pick it up. And, you know, I didn't have all the money at the time. So I'm like, okay, fine. I'll get my favorite player. This Bandits had a guy named Scott Self. He was a pretty tough defenseman. And I really liked him. So I'm like, okay, I'll get him. Number 4 is a cool number, you know. So she's like, okay, great. It'll be done in 2 weeks. It's just in time for the next game. Perfect. They call me the Wednesday. They're playing on Friday night. I pick it up Friday right before the game, put it on, excited. I get in my seats. And I don't follow the Bandits. Like, when I'm not at the game, mm-hmm. I don't follow them. Like, I'm not up on everything that they're doing. So I'm looking at the field, and I'm looking for him. I'm like, oh, he's not out there. Uh-oh. Is he hurt?
Oh, no.
So I talked to the two guys who sat in front of me that were more in tune with the team every, you know, day to day. And I'm like, hey, did Self get hurt last night? And he goes, no, didn't you hear? They traded him yesterday.
Oh,
I'm
no.
Like, you got to be kidding me. I was so like from then on, it's like retro players. Like I only get old guys that don't play for the team anymore. Like for my most recent Bills jersey, I bought a Joe Ferguson jersey, you know,
right.
Something like that.
So. That, oh, Drew, thanks for the call, man. That is the worst burn I've ever heard. Like, usually a lot of these, like, Josh, me and you've talked about it, it's the slow burns of, like, you're just seeing, like, this player's going to get traded, this player's leaving, or they get hurt and you just never get to wear it when they're on you know, Bill Sabres. The player gets traded the day before you get to wear it the first time. Oh, that is the worst. Oh, that's awful. That's awful.
I would never buy a jersey again.
That's but you heard, like, Drew's like, it's all retro now. That's the safest way to play it. You'll never get burned. Usually you won't get burned. It obviously takes something in the personal life where you look at the jersey now and go, you're a bad guy, and now this is ugly. Usually you can't get burned. But it is the safest route. It's the only way to do it. It's the only way to do it. I just, oh man, I got to find a retro player that like I like enough to do that. I've been thinking about Stevie Johnson for a Bills jersey because a few weeks ago, Bulldog was having the conversation, you know, who's your favorite, like, you know, all-time Bill? And for me, it is Stevie Johnson. I've been thinking about it. I don't know if I'm going to actually pull the trigger on it, but if I do, that's going to be the guy I go to. All right, we got to take a quick time out here. When we come back, Patrick Hammer will join the show. He is the chief meteorologist over at WGRZ. We'll get a look at the weather here in Buffalo. It's been looking pretty good. We'll see how the game will be tomorrow against Carolina Panthers. We'll do that after a quick timeout. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
Stop. Have a time.
Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and we go now to the Wester Hotline as chief meteorologist over at WGRZ. Patrick Hammer joins the show. Patrick, good morning, man. How are we doing today?
Hey, good morning. I need to be a part of any Fleetwood Mac discussion. I tuned in.
There we go.
And I heard about the vibe that you said you sensed between Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks. And that is so true. It looks like they hated each other. They were screaming at each other during some of those performances.
There is one. It's on YouTube. I think it's like 1980 in L.A. And they're performing like the entire Rumors album. And it's just daggers at the two of them. They like will sometimes pan over to Mick Fleetwood, who's just, like looks absolutely like a deer in the headlights going like, they might fight. I don't know. It's right. Oh, it's the best. Why has a movie not been made on just the creation of that album alone, Patrick? I just don't understand.
Well, it should be, because if you read about the history, it was recorded, most of it, at a very famous record studio in Sausalito, California, called the Record Plant. Lots of amazing albums were recorded there. But there's stories about how, like, Stevie Nicks wrote Dreams in, like, 10 minutes. And another song, that maybe it was Gold Dust Woman, they wrote in, like, 30 minutes. Now, remember, there were some... adults only things going on during the production of that album. There was a little bit of a drug use, I think.
Just a little bit.
But the whole story, the breakups, and if you look at just some of the lyrics, some of the song titles, just clearly it's a breakup album.
It's so good. It's the most hardcore breakup album. It's great music in general, but I was recently on a road trip with my girlfriend. We went down to the Thousand Islands and we were listening to some of the Rumors album, and I she had up to this point not really like listened to the lyrics, and as we're listening, I'm like Gab, just like listen to this and like and all that. She's like, why were they still in a band together? And I'm like, because they're geniuses. Like, and they've broken up like 15 times since.
And then that was followed up by one of the strangest music videos that they ever did. It was a great song called Tusk. And they filmed it at Dodger Stadium, but the USC marching band is there. And it's like, well, okay, why didn't they just do it at the Coliseum? As a USC alum, I'm like, why are the Trojans at Dodger Stadium? This doesn't make sense.
Right. You're like, the aesthetic is not working for me. Like, and the Coliseum, the Coliseum would have been like just the perfect bet. Oh, yeah, that's a miss.
It's a miss. Anyway, we digress.
I was going to say, I could talk about this for hours, but we do have a game tomorrow. And Pat, I mean, the weather this week, I think for a lot of people would be described as nearly perfect.
Absolutely. In full transparency, I'm talking to you right now from Houston, Texas, where it is. Let me tell you, it's take Buffalo's weather and flip it on its side. And that's what it's like here. A little version of hell. Yesterday's heat index hit 114. At one location near Houston, it spiked to 120. I don't understand how people live in this. I mean, the air temperature was like 103 yesterday with a heat index of 114. And it's been like that ever since we've been here. We got here Tuesday. I don't know how Diggs is learning to practice in these conditions, unless they're in some climate controlled situation, I got to believe. But when we left Buffalo, it was like a cold, cloudy, drizzly mid-October day. And I know the weather has just been gorgeous ever since, with 70s and sunshine. And that's going to continue. It looks like, through today, and then tomorrow, another elite late summer, early fall day, if you want to call it. It looks absolutely, I mean, you couldn't get any better. Kickoff temperature of about 77, very little humidity, none actually. A light breeze, sunshine. I mean, you couldn't write it up any better. Anything's better than 114. I'm right now, it's, 10:30 Central Time, and it's 93 degrees. So we've got like 7 more hours to warm up. Enjoy the beautiful weather you're going to have today, and then certainly for tailgating and for the game tomorrow.
I did think about it. My family's a big Disney World family, and for years, because of me and my brother both playing sports, we could only go in August, and it was just like you had to get used to it real fast. Of like it's 7 in the morning, and I'm already completely sweated through my shirt. This is the worst.
Yeah. It's like a warm embrace. You walk outside and it's like taking a wet, hot towel and wrapping it around yourself. And it's that way from the morning. And then even when it doesn't even cool off at night. It's not like when we get heat waves in Buffalo, it's like a day or two, maybe three. It's been like this for weeks, and it cools down a little bit next week to the upper 90s. Anyway, it just makes you appreciate how wonderful our summers and falls are in Western New York.
100%.
And we're going to show that off Saturday for sure for the game.
It should be awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be perfect. Really nice looking day. And you know, I remember talking to Sal 2 weeks before the away opener against the Rams when the Bills played in Los Angeles. And he was like, do you see anything 2 weeks out? And I was like, well, I kind of foresee a little heat wave coming to the Bills Rams game, which did take place. I'm trying to look out into the future this season to see if we see anything screaming at us in terms of a home opener weather pattern for the Cardinals in, you know, a little over 2 weeks. It's hard to say. The one thing we don't see is any heat. We're going to have, it's going to warm up next week. We're going to kind of have a little taste of some summer weather for a few days next week. But then there are signs as we head into Labor Day and then the week following, little incursions of cooler air. So it might turn out to be really, really pleasant, at least temperature-wise, as we head into the home opener.
This may be a ridiculous question, so I do apologize. Yeah. But with the sign that like maybe there's not going to be a ton of heat here towards the end of August, is that maybe signaling a colder, you know, fall winter, or is it just kind of it's what's happening right now?
Yeah, it doesn't. It's hard to really link. Like sometimes early cold outbreaks or snow in October signal a warmer winter. Sometimes early shots of fall cold. Like you think, this is the start of something wicked. Not always the case. September linkages are harder, but when you get into October and you see weather patterns developing, sometimes those early cool pushes kind of, you know, enlighten you to think, wow, this may tend to warm up by the time the winter comes. So it's just, it's something we've looked at historically. But no, any kind of cooler, even though it does warm up for the last days of August, it does seem to cool down again for Labor Day. And not a sign of the winter, but a sign of what could be a very nice fall weather pattern for the first 2 weeks of September, is how it looks now.
And as someone that has not been able to get a ton of golf in the summer, my own bad, it's nice that golf season might be extended a little bit here, selfishly.
I mean, I played last Friday in Eden, and it was glorious. I mean, it was cloudy. It was you know, it was in the 70s. I don't know. It's been a very nice golf season. I don't do well in the heat, so playing golf in the heat is just not my thing. Playing golf in like lynx weather in Scotland is my what I would prefer. But yeah, this could be a nice extended golf season, hopefully. We do though need a little bit of rain to green up the fairways. It's been a little dry, and there's no sign of rain. Maybe a shower on Sunday, but that even looks chancy. And even into next week, it looks dry. So a dry stretch, which has been in place all week, maybe the golf courses could use a little rain by next week, but I don't see anything coming.
On the Western Hotline, Patrick Hammer, Chief Meteorologist over at WGRZ. Patrick, before I do let you go here, I just wanted to let you know, because last time we talked with you, we spoke about this. I did get to watch that episode you were in of In the Eye of the Storm over on Discovery and HBO. That is fantastic television. For about 45 minutes, I was glued to the television.
Didn't it take kind of a little bit of a dark tone?
Yes.
It was powerful. It was a pleasure to be a part of it, to be kind of interviewed on the meteorological side of what happened during the blizzard. And then you just realize how significant it was, the tragedy of it, the heroes that emerged from it. But it was, my wife could like care less about this type of thing, and she was glued to it. You know, she was like, oh my God. So yeah. Well, thank you for watching it. I think, a lot of us, if some of you could get a little PTSD from it because it reminds you what it was like, and maybe some of you tried to drive as that blizzard hit and it was just horrific. It will remind you of what many of us went through, during Christmas, during that blizzard. So just a kind of a warning. It brings back a lot of memories.
Yeah, cannot recommend it enough. All right, Patrick,
thank you
so much for joining us today. Enjoy the rest of your time in Houston. Try to stay cool, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
We finally get out of here on Sunday. Can't wait. See ya. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you, Patrick. And that was On the Western Hotline, Chief Meteorologist over at WGRZ, Patrick Hammer. Man, oh, you know what, though? Maybe the best heat I have ever dealt with in terms of like, ooh, the temperature on my phone is saying it's in the triple digits. I'm not dying. Josh, you'd be surprised. Las Vegas. It was like 110 degrees when I went maybe five, six years ago. And it was like, this isn't great. Like, I'm not loving this. I can deal with this. It's that muggy, thick heat. I should have asked Patrick if they flew down. Anyone that has flown to Florida in the summer knows the feeling of the Orlando airport doors opening and you're just slammed with the heat wave that feels like just a heated, like a wet heated blanket just thrown on top of you. The worst and best feeling ever. Cause you're like, I'm in Florida, baby. I know that feeling, but you're also like, I'm not in Kansas anymore. I got to gear up. I got to get ready, man. Oh, I want to say I'm still good in the heat, but as the older I've gotten, the more I'm just like, I don't like sweating. I don't love it. I used to be better, Josh. I used to be able to handle the humid heat so much better. I feel like an old man now. This is bad. This is bad by me. Oh, brutal. Got to take a quick time out here. Dan, after a quick timeout, we'll get to you as well. If you want to join the show in the last few minutes here, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, and this is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones and Josh Schmidt here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Let's go back to the phones here real quick. We've got Dan on the line. Dan, how are we doing today?
Hi. I am doing well. That's kind of a long story. I'll try to get it in quick. But when I was a young boy, I was the oldest of five, and we were going through a very difficult time as a family. And a gentleman who was associated with the Bills took me to one of their practices, and Marlon Briscoe gave me his practice jersey.
Oh, that's perfect. No, that works. That's a good one. That is a good one. Dan, thanks for the call. That works. I like that idea. You get a practice jersey or anything with sentimental value, that works. The curse does not affect that one. I like that. That works for me.
And it's also cool because, like, how many people have a Bills practice jersey?
No, exactly. Like, and again, it goes to the conversation point. He wears that jersey. Everyone's like, really? And he's like, hey, this was a practice jersey. This was given to me.
Yeah.
That's a great conversation piece. I like that. You had something with fantasy football you want to mention here real quick?
Yeah. So I got to give a quick shout out to my buddy Brandon. He sent me an interesting fantasy football format. So in his league, there's a minimum buy-in, but everyone has to pay a little bit more than the minimum buy-in. So the way this works is everyone in the league pays a different amount and your draft order is determined by what you pay.
Oh, so you're kind of doing it like you...
You're bidding on you picks.
Like a bidding league, yeah.
So the commissioner gets texts and you say, hey, is $54 available? And they'll say yes or no. If it is available, you can buy that amount. But you could buy a $52 pick and be the last person in the draft.
Yeah.
Or you could buy a $60 pick and be number one. It depends on however much anyone else wants to spend and however much people like really want that first overall pick.
That is interesting. I don't have enough money to blow to want to go into this, but I do like that idea of bidding for the draft spot, not the player, but the draft spot.
Well, there's another twist to it. Okay. So all of the money, however much is acquired by the commissioner, is put into a pot. The winner gets the entirety of the pot, but has to use all of that money to host a party on Pro Bowl weekend.
Oh, that's awesome.
So whatever money you're putting in is how good the party's going to be.
So it's long run, and it's kind of like we're all still pitching in together for ultimately this thing. Like the winner's not really keeping the money. It's more you're now planning the party.
Right. So and in his explanation, it's like if you get enough money, you could literally get like you could hire like a sushi chef to come and like cater your party and like do something like cool or like I don't know.
Okay. Just, I like
it,
that.
I love it. I think it's super interesting. It's a different twist to like the draft order. Mm-hmm. Then you're not like, oh, I was bad last year. I had the first overall pick. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
But it's just this kind of it allows for like parity, right? Like it's just interesting. And you won't know if you're really getting your money's worth But at the end of the year, everyone has fun.
It ultimately can kind of come around.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
I like that. I like that. I actually just took part in, I think I'm only going to be in like two or three leagues this year, in sort of the main league I've been in for like, I think 5-6 years now at this point. I do it with my dad. I had to essentially ghost draft half our team because I was still working, and then I had to race to the draft to finish out the second half of it. A lot of fun. Good times there. That is going to do it for me and Josh today. Bills pregame as they take on the Carolina Panthers tomorrow at home for a 1 p.m. kickoff. We'll begin at 8 a.m. Josh, are you on right away to start with Derek Kramer?
Yep. Derek and I will be on at 8.
Beautiful. And WGR is going to take you from 8 a.m. to that 1 p.m. kickoff as the Bills will wrap up their preseason schedule against Carolina Panthers tomorrow. That's coming up, though, tomorrow. You're listening to WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, oh, oh. O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.